Amen. So we're going to start a series entitled, How to Be Led by the Spirit of God. And I'm not being dramatic when I say this, because I've seen it. If you'll learn how to be led by the Spirit of God, it will change your life. It can save your life. People at times have learned how to be led by the Spirit of God, and God tell them to do something financially that they would have never thought otherwise doing on their own, but they learned how to follow God, and they did it, and the finances change. People that have been told things about their body, and they went ahead and checked out and got ahead of something, and people that were told different things and spared things in their life. It's unbelievable that we can actually be led by God on this earth. It's so cool. So that's what I want to go and teach you here this morning and going forward in this series. So Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5, this is where it seems good to start. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. These are two of my favorite verses in all of the Word. You know, I just take the Word literally as God speaking to me. And when I read these verses, what I see is an invitation from my Father to consult Him on every area of life. Every single thing I'm going through, every single thing I face, every uncertainty, every time it feels like you're stuck in a rut or you're just spinning your tires, every time you feel like you come up against something and you can't get past it, He said, if I would acknowledge Him, first it said, trust in Him with all my heart, lean not on my own ways, but acknowledge Him, verse 6. If I would acknowledge Him, Lord, what about this situation? Lord, what about this issue? What about this problem? What about this trial? What about this thing that I keep banging my head and it just never seems to change? I'm spinning my wheels. He said, if I'll acknowledge Him and trust in Him, He said, I will direct your paths. Amen. God is offering to direct your paths and to guide you in life. In a second, I'm going to look and show you that's a good thing. That God only leads and guides to good things. But God is saying to you, I want to be your personal GPS. That's what He's saying. Well, what does a GPS do? It takes you where you need to go. It takes you where you want to go. It gets you out of places you're lost, right? When you don't know where to go, how to get there, it tells you how to get there. God's saying, I want to be that for you. I want to be that for you. But you know, so many people don't use the GPS, don't take advantage of Him. What do I mean? They get out in front of Him. They make their own decisions. They get involved in things without ever even consulting Him. They make big life decisions and never consult what God has to say. And God's sitting there saying, I know the answer to that. You're trying to figure out in your mind, you got pros and cons list, you're weighing it and you're going over it in your mind. I got the answer. I know the right direction. I know which way to stay away from. I know which way to go. And a lot of people don't use Him. You know, I was on a trip not too long ago with somebody. This person likes to be the driver, which is fine. I like to be the rider. And they refused to use the GPS, you know, and we were in places and they just were convinced they knew how to get there. And we kept finding ourselves in the wrong place. Pastor Tim Stallman, what? Wait, what just happened? He's been everywhere, you know, and so he feels like he's his own GPS. And he's the pastor of the Jamestown Church. Wonderful pastor, but man, he don't like the GPS. And we find ourselves lost. And finally, I just got mad. I said, we stinking have a GPS right on the dashboard. Oh, we don't need that. Yes, we do. We need it. And I try to tell them we need it. Well, if you find it, if you want it, you plug into things. Well, I need you to pull over. Won't let me do it while you're driving. I'm not pulling over. Well, I guess we're going to be lost then. That's a true story. I mean, I was on his case the whole time. Use the GPS. No, he knows where he's going. Okay. Guess we know where we're going. But, you know, that's a funny story, but got you lost, you know, takes you out of the way, waste time. But that's the picture of Christians' lives. Life should not be trial and error. Life should not be, well, I just wonder if that's going to work out. Well, I sure hope. Well, I think this is the right decision. That's silly. You got God saying, if you talk to me about it, I'll tell you exactly what to do. I'll tell you exactly where to go. Praise God. God is offering you direction. God is offering you guidance in your life. Go with me real quick to Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. Praise the name of Jesus. If you'll learn the truths, there are people in this building right now that if they were to stand up here and testify about times when they followed the Spirit, learned and followed the Spirit, how it brought great increase in all different areas of their life. Helped get them through tough times, what seemingly looked like impossible times, but God, it was almost like magic, you know, the way it looked, but it just, God weaved them through difficult situations and put them in the right places. Amen. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10, look what it says. It says, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. Now, the Amplified brings that out. Kim, if you wouldn't mind pulling that up, brings it out a lot clearer. It says, for we are God's own handiwork, His workmanship, recreated in Christ Jesus, born anew, that we may do those good works, say good, good, which God predestined. Now look at this, planned beforehand. He's got a path for you. He's got a plan for your life. For us, now notice this, taking paths which He prepared ahead of time, that we should walk in them. Now look at the result of taking the paths that He prepared, going on His paths or His way, living the good life. Amen. I'll take it. Living the good life. That's not a life of torment. That's not a life of turmoil. That's not a life of questions and frustrations and bitterness and just can't get past things. No, the good life is favor, prosperity and joy and victory. But He said that He prearranged and made ready for us to live. But the only way is He says, here's my path. If you'll stay in my path, the good life will be up ahead. Amen. Hallelujah. But a lot of Christians don't stay in His path. Don't even take time to find out what His path or His plan is. Don't take time to ask Him, Lord, what about this situation? What's Your answer? What's Your thoughts on this situation? I'm reminded of when I used to take, not so much Caleb anymore, you know, because he's older and he's bigger, but when I was to take the kids, it still applies to Abby, you know, she's so little, but take them for walks in the woods. And when you're little and you walk in the woods, it's different than when you're bigger and you walk in the woods. Lots of things tripping you up and things that maybe are just down here, you know, it's up in their face and gets your problem. And I was aware of that, taking them out in the woods, you know, and I would say to them, now stay right behind Daddy. Stay right behind Daddy. Stay behind me. Why? I'm clearing a path for them. I'm getting all the things that are going to trip them up out of the way. You know, they walk right into things that are prickers, come back, smack them, get stuck on them, sticks hit them, fall, trip on the ground, they can't see, logs and things. Say, stay right behind Daddy when we walk in the woods. Stay right behind me. Don't get out of the path because, there's prickers. Get my clippers out, get them out of the way, make a path for them. But when I found, when they would get out ahead of me, or I would look behind me, and they're not behind me, they're off to my right, and they're falling, Abby's falling and crying. I said, baby, stay in my path. You wouldn't fall if you stay in my path. You wouldn't fall if you get out in front of me. Yeah. Well, that's what people do with God all the time. They get out in front of Him. They don't stay in His path. God's saying, go this way, go this way. They say, no, I want to try it this way. Bam, there's a pricker of life hitting you. There's a bush you didn't want nailing you in the face. There's a stick I tripped. Oh, there's a log I didn't see. Stay in His path, His plan. That's what we're going to teach you in this series, is that's available. It's opportunity for you. And so it pays to stay in His plan. Go with me to 3 John verse 2. 3 John verse 2. Look what he if he wants this for you, then it has to also be a part of what his plan is. Beloved, I wish above all things that you'd prosper and be in health. Well, don't you think that his path, the good life, would teach you how to prosper and be in health? Beloved, I wish above all things that thou may prosper, be in health, even as thy soul prospers. Now, I know I'm having you flip around real quick, but you got to keep your fingers ready with me. Go to Isaiah 48:17. He just said to you now, he just said to you that I wish that you'd prosper and be in health. Well, look what he says in 48:17 of Isaiah. Thus says the Lord, thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord thy God, which teaches you to profit. God's not trying to lead you into poverty. God's not trying to lead you into lack. He's your dad. He's trying to teach you to profit. Which leads. Remember he says, I'll direct, I'll guide, I'll lead. I've made a path for you. Which leads you by the way that you should go. What's the way you should go? His path, the good life, the prosperity life, the life where he teaches you how to prosper, how to be blessed. You know, if you start to look at God as a parent and put it how you parent your children, you'll start to see a bigger picture of how loving he is. You don't put stumbling blocks in front of your kids. You do what you can to make their life easy in the sense that a blessing, right? Not saying they don't have to learn things. Not saying life at times there's labor and things. No, I'm not saying that. But you do what you can to make sure they're healthy. You do what you can to make sure they're blessed financially. You do what you can to make sure they're protected and have favor, right? Well, that's what your father wants to do. And on his paths is filled with the same thing. He's not a lesser parent than you are. He's a greater parent than you are. Amen. What does Psalms 23 say? Psalms 23 talks a little bit about leading and guiding on his paths and his way. Psalms 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want or lack. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. Woo-wee. Now you can kick against that. I don't want to. Oh, if you'll let him, he'll make you lay down. The place where he's going to put you is in a green pasture. He leads me besides the waters of turmoil and strife and trouble. No, God's leading is beside the still waters. Verse 3, he restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. What's he saying? Even when you walk in the valley of the shadow of death, I'm still going to go with you. I'm still going to help you. Praise God. Thank God for when we miss it, he's there. Rod and my staff, they comfort me. You prepare. In his path, he's preparing something. What? A table before me in the very presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. You, your path, your plan, my cup runs over. There's no lack. There's increase. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. You're darn right they will. If you stay in God's path, goodness and mercy will follow you all the days of your life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Hallelujah. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 22. Proverbs 10 and verse 22, what are we doing? We're letting you know that God has a path and God has a plan, and God's path and God's plan is better than you can come up with on your own. And he said, if you'll learn to trust in me with all your heart and lean out on your understanding, and if you'll acknowledge me in every situation, I'll take you down these paths. What paths? The still waters, the green pastures, the goodness and mercy, the prosperity. Amen. The health. The blessing of the Lord makes rich. Wow. And adds no sorrow with it. What's he saying? My way is the best way. Praise God. That's what he wants. That's what I'm trying to drill into you. So God is offering you direction, but I want to show you this now. If you want to receive this, because I know what you're thinking, the good life, that sounds great. Prosperity, it sounds better than what I'm dealing with. Still waters, not troubled and turmoil and strife and frustration. I want still waters. I know it sounds great. But if you want to receive it, mark this down. You got to play by his rules. You got to play by his rules. Well, what do I mean, play by his rules? Well, his rules are found in Romans chapter 8 and verse 14. He said, I'll lead you. He said, I'll guide you into prosperity, into still waters, into green pastures. But you got to play by his rules. Romans 8, 14. For as many as are led. Led into what? Green pastures, still waters. Prosperity, good life, right? For as many as are led, how? By the Spirit of God. They are the sons of God. What's he saying? The way I'm leading in 2019 is by the Holy Ghost. If you want the good life, if you want the blessings, if you want the prosperity, if you want the still waters, if you want my guidance, my direction where adds no sorrow, you're going to have to learn to be led by the Holy Ghost because that's the only way I'm doing it. We might look at this further in another one of these messages in this series, but God's not leading through emotion. He's not leading through feelings. He never leads through feelings and emotions. That's not how he does it. God doesn't lead through thoughts. He doesn't. God doesn't lead through money. God doesn't lead through the weather. Well, I want to get out of Western New York because of the snow. Okay, is that what God's telling you to do? Well, I don't. Yeah, that's the problem. It's too much about you and not enough about him. Amen, it's true. Well, the money. Oh, now we're led by money? He didn't say he leads by money. He said he leads by the Holy Ghost. Now again, you can forfeit it all, the good life. You can forfeit the still waters and all that stuff and do things your own way. You're allowed to do that. He'll let you. Amen. But why would you? Amen. Take it if he offers it. Praise God. You know, if you were on a basketball court, you imagine, most people know the name Michael Jordan, so I'll use him. Imagine Michael Jordan back when he used to play with Scottie Pippen, you know, two of the all-time greats, winning all his championships. Imagine if Scottie Pippen would have got the ball from the out of bounds, passed it to Michael Jordan, he catches the ball, and he tucks that ball under his arm and starts running. And he goes and does a slam dunk. Well, guess what they're going to do? They're going to blow the whistle and say, traveling. You can only take two steps in basketball. You got to dribble to get to where you are. And Michael Jordan says, what are you talking about? I just watched Jerry Rice, football player, catch a pass from Joe Montana, quarterback, San Francisco 49ers. I just saw Jerry Rice catch a pass. He tucked that ball under, and he ran towards the goal. I just did what he did, and the rest said, I don't care. You're playing by the wrong rules. Until you learn the right rules, you're going to struggle in this game. And Christians struggle because they don't play by the rules. They want God to lead in all sorts of different ways. He's not leading by your emotions. That's why I always tell people, be careful. When it comes to family, people do things outside the boundaries of the Holy Ghost all the time in the name of family. Oh, sure they do. Why? Because blood's thicker than water. Bull. The Spirit is thicker than blood. What do I mean? The Spirit, someone told me that one time. I don't remember who it was. If you're in here, thank you. But it's true. What's that mean? The Spirit gets more emphasis than bloodlines. People do some dumb things in the name of family, and God wasn't even involved in it. And God, but they get in their own mind. Well, why don't you ask God about that? He knows what's best for that family member. Nah, you just want to take it in your own hands. Well, okay. Well, then you're going to struggle and fail because there's a way that seems right unto man, but the ways there end, the end is death. God's thoughts aren't your thoughts. People don't take time to hear the Holy Ghost. They play by the wrong rules. Well, I want God to do it a different way. He's not going to do it a different way. What if all of a sudden you see Michael Jordan get a pass, he puts the ball on the ground, he starts kicking it down, kicking it. He's going to try to kick it through the back of the you know, without getting into the hoop. Well, I saw someone do that on TV. That's wrong rules, Mike. Wrong rules. You got to play by the right rules. Well, what's God's rules? You want to be led into a good life, prearranged, made ready for you? Good life, prosperity, green pasture, still waters, goodness and mercy. You got to learn to follow the Holy Ghost because that's how he's leading. And I hate to break the news to you. He's not going to do it a different way just because you think you're special. He doesn't change. He stays the same. Amen? So I want to teach you how to follow the Holy Ghost. Go to Proverbs 20 and verse 27. This series is going to help people and change lives. Proverbs 20 and verse 27. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. Now, it says searching all the inward parts of the belly. That just tells us the location of the spirit of man. The center of man. The belly part of a man. I don't have time to teach us. I don't think we're going to teach on this in this series, but you're a three-part being. You're made up of three parts. You have a body, which is a shell, which is your, what I call an earth suit. You have a mind, a will, and emotions, which is your soul. Paul said this. He said, spirit, soul, and body. He said, your whole spirit, soul, and body, you're a three-part being. You have a body. You have a soul, a mind, will, and emotions. But you are a spirit. The Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. When your body stops working down here, that's not the end of you. That's the beginning of your eternity. And your spirit man goes to be with him in heaven. The shell stays down here, rots and decays. But the real you goes on to eternity and lives forever. So when he's talking about the spirit of man, he's talking about the real you. Yeah, our spirit is housed in this body, and we all look different and have different shapes and looks and different things like that, and male, female, things like that. But the real you is a spirit. And the Bible says that your spirit is in the belly part of the human being, of the center of a man. And so, but notice what he says. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. Well, back then they didn't have flashlights or electricity. Candles were used for what? To see where you're going. To make sure you don't trip up. To make sure you don't fall down a flight of stairs. To make sure you don't fall in a hole. To make sure you don't trip over the kid's stuff on the floor, trip over the dog. When it's dark, you light a candle. What's it do? Shows you where to go. He says, that's how I'm going to guide and direct people. By the spirit of man. Now, he said in Romans 8:14 that they that are led by the spirit of God. So we're talking about two different things. The spirit of God and the spirit of man. So I need to explain something to you of how this is going to work. Are you ready? Go to John chapter 14 and verse 15. Because I said God's going to lead by the Spirit, but then I just showed you that God's guiding us through our spirits. So which one is it, His or ours? Well, this will help you and explain to you. John chapter 14, verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, or ask a request of the Father, and He will give you another comforter. See, Jesus was a comforter, but He's going to leave the earth. He says, I'll pray and God will send you another comforter so you won't be comfortless. God doesn't want you comfortless. That He may abide with you forever. Because again, Jesus, you know, He was prophesying His death the whole time. The disciples it blew their minds that this guy that they're with for 3.5 years doing all these things they're getting close with, he's going to be gone. But Jesus is saying, you're not going to be alone. You're not going to be comfortless. I'll send you a comforter. He'll abide with you forever. Now look at verse 17. Who's that comforter? It tells us right now, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it sees Him not, neither knows Him, but you know Him. Now notice this. For He will dwell with you, and He, the Spirit of truth, shall be in you. The world can't receive it because they're not born again. But when you receive Jesus as Lord and Savior, the Bible says that He comes and dwells on the inside of you. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 says this, don't you know that your body is a temple or the housing place of the Holy Ghost or the Spirit? He's saying in chapter 6 there, over verse 14, he says, don't you know that your body is the dwelling place of the Holy Ghost? Well, maybe you didn't know, but now you know. When you got born again, the Holy Spirit came to live on the inside of you. So there's two spirit things going on the inside of you. God's spirit and the fact that you are a spirit. Okay? Don't forget that. Now go to John 16 and verse 7. So the Holy Ghost goes on the inside of you. John 16 and verse 7. Jesus said, "Nevertheless, I tell you, it is expedient," or that word means advantageous or better, "for you that I go away. For if I don't go away, the Comforter will not come unto you." Well, we already know who the Comforter is, the Spirit of Truth, the Holy Ghost. "But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment, of sin because they believe not in me, of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more, of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now." But this is what I want you to see, verse 13. "Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of Truth, is come," that's when you get born again, he came. He's right on the inside of you, praise God. "He," now look at this, "he will" what? "Guide." Sounds like direct. Sounds like lead. Well, what did he say in Proverbs 3? He said, "I'll direct, I'll guide, I'll lead you into prosperity," Isaiah 48, 17 says. "I'll lead you or guide you by the still waters." Well, how's he doing it? Same way Romans 8, 14, by the Spirit, he says here. He says, "The Spirit will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak of himself, but whatsoever he," the Holy Spirit, "hears, he will speak and show you things to come." So let me tell you how it works. Proverbs 20, 27 says, "The spirit of man, the real you, is the candle of the Lord," or how God's going to direct you. Romans 8, 14 says that if we're led by the way God does it, is he leads by the Spirit. Well, this tells us what happens. That the Holy Ghost, on the inside of you, hears from heaven. "He shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear." When the Holy Ghost hears from heaven, because God said, "I'll lead and direct you," he said, he'll speak, and the result will be showing you things to come. So what happens is the Holy Ghost is on the inside. He's not speaking to your head. He's not speaking to your flesh. Now your mind will get enlightenment, but he's not speaking to your flesh or your mind. The Holy Spirit hears from heaven, relays it to our spirit. Go to Romans 8 and verse 14 again. I'll show you this. This will help you see this. Romans 8 verse 14 through 16 are John 16 in action, where he hears, speaks, and shows. Holy Ghost hears, speaks to you, which shows you things or guides you to where you need to go. Romans 8 and verse 14, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they're the sons of God. For you've not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father." Now here it is. The Spirit itself should be himself. It's not the Holy Ghost is not an it. It's a him. The translation missed that. The Holy Spirit, the Spirit himself, notice this, bears witness or communicates with our spirit that we are the children of God. So what's it saying? That the Holy Ghost communicates with our spirit on something. Well, not only does it tell us, one of the things that the Bible talks about the Holy Ghost is being the down payment of our inheritance. What does that mean? Well, naturally, you might not feel saved at times, right? I don't know about you, but that losing that hour last night, I didn't wake up feeling saved this morning. Did you? I didn't wake up. I was not feeling saved, but I was saved, you know, and there's times, you know, maybe you don't do everything right or things go wrong and you don't feel saved, but in your heart, you know I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. Why is that? Because the Spirit is bearing witness, you're a child of God. You're a child of God. That's why it's called a down payment. It's because when the down payment is the Spirit, which proves to us we are born again. There's nothing else that we can explain it by, except you can't talk me out of my salvation because I know I'm heaven bound. Well, that's the Spirit bearing witness with my spirit. Well, that's the same way he's going to do when, "Father, what do I do about this situation?" And you learn in this series how to be sensitive, how to hear from him, because I'm going to show you how to put yourself in a position to actually hear God's voice, to actually get the direction and leading of God. I'm going to teach you and show you that. And you go and you learn that. And then the Holy Ghost, on the inside of you, will check in with headquarters. And headquarters sees everything, the beginning and the end, the Alpha, the Omega. He knows every turn you need to make, every place you need to pull out of. He knows every little weave of your life and winding road that you need to go down that will bring you still waters, good life, prosperity, all those things we talked about. The Holy Ghost hears it from heaven. God says, tell them this way. You're sensitive for the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost will then bear witness with your spirit what to do and show you things to come. It is the most supernatural, awesome, stinking great thing there is when it comes to following God. The fact that you can actually tap into heaven and get the mind of God on your situation is awesome. But I'm just here to tell you, most people, now you say, Pastor, are you just saying that to be sensational or to make your point? No, I'm telling you, it's the truth. I deal with people. Most people do not go this route, but go the route of their feelings, go the route of convenience, go the route of what they think, go the route of opinions, go the route of, and never take time to hear from heaven. And they wonder, why? Pastor talks about this good life, prosperity, favor business. I'm not seeing it. Are you getting smacked in the face by the briars and the prickers because you're out in front of him? Because you're not staying in his path? He doesn't want that for you. He doesn't want that for you. Go with me to 1 John chapter 5 and verse 7. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 7. I love preaching about following the Holy Ghost. First John chapter 5 and verse 7. For there are three that bear record in heaven. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. Well, he said what? The Spirit of God comes to dwell on the inside of you. The Bible says there's three that bear record in heaven. The Father, the Word, which is Jesus. Remember, the Bible calls Jesus the Word. Jesus is the Word. The Word was made flesh, dwelt among us. Jesus is the Word. So it's talking about the Trinity here, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. Now, I'm going to reach inside your head right now, and I'm going to pull that little chain, and I'm going to pull that light bulb thing. I'm going to turn the light on for you. The Bible says that the Holy Ghost is on the same playing field, is equal to God Almighty. So it says, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and they're one. Ladies and gentlemen, you have God inside you. That needs to sink in. You have the all-knowing one. He said, I'll be in you and dwell with you forever, and I will show you things to come. God knows your tomorrows, your next weeks, your next year, what to do, what not to do, things to change, things to adjust, how to get out of that problem, how to stop spinning your wheels. He knows every situation, even if you put yourself in that rut. He knows how to get you out of it. He knows how to turn that around. He knows how to change that. You have the all-knowing, all-loving, all-wisdom one dwelling on the inside of you. Wow. Wow. Praise God. But when you're not aware of that, you look elsewhere for your answers. People. Consult your checkbook. Consult your thoughts and your feelings. When you are aware of what's inside of you, you'll start looking in the right place for the answers. The answers are not found in the flesh or the mind. They're found in the spirit, in your heart. That's why I said, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your thinking. In your ways, acknowledge him, and he'll direct your path. How's he going to direct your path? Through the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost. But people look elsewhere for all these answers. Elsewhere, all these answers. I remember, I'm going to tell you a cool story here to close, but I want to give you this, two stories to close these things. We like stories. So get your blankie out. If you're like Abby, throw that thumb in your mouth, whatever you got to do. There was a old Nintendo video game called Stadium Events. And it's a super rare old Nintendo game that was sitting on this shelf in this like pawn shop type store. Guy working there every day, looking, seeing that game right there, right there. Someone else comes in, is looking, sees that game, 50 cents. I'll take that. Gets it. Goes on eBay and sells it and makes an insane amount of money. I can't remember the exact dollar amount. I should have looked it up. But it's, I'm talking thousands and thousands of dollars for this video game. Now, what was the difference? The one behind the counter had access to it all the time, but he was unaware. Every Christian has the Spirit of God on the inside of them. But live life in frustration and turmoil, frustration and hard days and just never works, never can't get past this, the same things over and over and over again. And the whole time, God was in them. That guy behind the counter, I can't pay my bills, I'm having struggle the whole time. Your answer to your life is right behind you, but you are unaware of it, buddy. So many Christians have no idea the treasure. We have this treasure, the Bible says, in earthen vessels. Unaware. When you become aware of what's in you, when you go through a problem, you won't start looking outward, you'll start looking inward for the answer. Hoo-wee! I know wheels are turning right now. You are glad you came to church. You are glad you came to church. I don't know if I've ever told this story. I might have in a measure here. And I won't use names. And I've got permission before to use this story. But talking about the benefits of following the Holy Ghost. And I might tell it again during the series. It's a few years ago before we had this building. And we were in the old sanctuary. Well, I'll just say it this way. I had a dream one night. Now, I've only been used in dreams. The Bible says in the last days, one of the ways God will use you is by dreams. And say, well, how do I know if it's of God? That's the thing. You'll know it's of God. Most of our dreams is because we had too much pizza and chocolate milk before bed. I'm telling on myself. But there's been a few times I woke up and I know God was talking to me in a dream. Well, in the dream, we were in the old sanctuary. And in the dream, I saw certain people, saw exactly who they were, putting in a building fund offering. And I knew by the Spirit of God, by the word of knowledge, that it was a large amount. And excuse me. And I had known by the Holy Ghost that the reason that they were able to do that is because they were led to do something, did it, and the blessing came, another blessing the church. I knew that by the Holy Ghost. So that was like the next Wednesday or the Wednesday after, I ministered to these people. I didn't tell them I had a dream. All I said was that God's dealing with me concerning you in a supernatural way. And I said, if you'll obey him. Now, I didn't tell them anything if it was concerning money or anything. I just said, if you'll obey him. I think the words I used were, you'll walk into increase like you've never known before. Something along those lines. That's what the Holy Ghost said to say. So I didn't say exactly what it was. I didn't tell them I saw him putting in an offering envelope. No, you don't ever want to be a magnet on somebody's compass. I just said what the Holy Spirit said, which was encouraging them, obey God. Obey God. Whatever it is, obey God. So I get done, excuse me, with service. This is months later. I get done with service and I go over to talk to Jeff's in the old office where the ushers count the money. Excuse me, there we go. Something was in there. I got it now. It's gone. And, man, I was hanging on for dear life. Must have been a demonic goober or something that just didn't want me to get this out, so just hanging on for dear life. That's all I could think of. And so I go over to Jeff and So what was the offering amount today? He said, $101,000. I said, stop. I said, stop it. Now, this is a case where I looked. So I looked. I did. Here's what I said to Jeff. I said, tell me. He showed me the amount. It's $101,000 and some change. I said, I know who gave that. He said, yeah. He didn't count that day. He said, yeah, so do I. And he said a name. I said, no. Nope. I said, the Holy Ghost showed me months ago that somebody was going to put in an offering. And I said, I guarantee who it is. Look down through there and tell me if it is. Looked right through the envelope. Said, yep, it was them. I said, no. I saw it in the dream. Now, I drove right to their house after because I had to tell them the story. And I said, this is what I saw in the dream. And when I ministered to you, I said, obey God. Well, then they started to tell me their side of the story. That they had kind of done some things their own way financially with some investments and things and didn't really consult God and seek God on it and lost some money. Well, they got fed up and sick of that. Started learning, hey, if the Holy Ghost will lead me, why won't he lead me financially? He said, I'll teach you how to profit. Well, Brother Hagin said this, that Jesus told him that if you'll learn to follow the Holy Ghost, I'll make you rich. That's what he said. If you'll learn to follow the Holy Ghost, I'll make you rich. No reason Christians should ever be struggling financially. God has the answer. He's the prosperity God that will show you how to do it if you learn. And so they told me a story. I said, we got sick and tired of that. So we got serious, started seeking God, and he led us to invest into something that naturally was very volatile. That naturally didn't make sense, that people wouldn't advise you to do it, you know, professionals in that field. But the Holy Ghost was saying, go in on that. Go in on that. And it translated to the church right in the time of the Holy Ghost is so great with needs and things, right when we're getting ready to transition to this building. And all these, you know, they tell you a number when they tell you a building. But just add a whole bunch of what they tell you to what they say. And all these extra expenses and costs are coming up and things. And here it translates somebody in the church learning to follow the Holy Ghost turns into a $101,000 offering for South Dayton Church. And you know what else it did? Paid off all their debt. And we're able to sow big into their family. What's that called? The Holy Spirit. You say, oh, would he do that for me? You're his kid. Yes, he will. Might not be that exact way. That might not be the exact amount. But he'll teach you if you'll learn. And they said, one thing they had a heart, they said, we want to be a funder for the kingdom. I'll tell you, if you learn to be a funder for the kingdom, if you say, I want to make money for God, oh, God will get money to you. You want money to come to you? Start being sold out to be in his purpose. Your job. You're not working for a living. You're working for a given. You start doing it that way. He'll start prospering you in all different ways. Why? The kingdom needs money. And he needs people that are willing to do it. Well, they said, we're willing. Their heart was right. Said, Lord said, all right, I'll take care of that. I'll give you an idea to do it. And not only is it going to bless the church in the nick of time, it's going to pay everything of your debts off. Amen. That's following the Holy Ghost. And I thought it was amazing that God gave me that dream. Told Jeff exactly who it was. Didn't look at the offering envelope. Just knew by the Holy Ghost. By the dream that he gave me. And they followed the Holy Ghost. See what happens if we learn to cooperate? If we learn to cooperate, you know, I'm fixing to close here. I mean, I was almost done early, but you know, I just for some reason can't do it to you. It's got to make you suffer. Stay behind me, baby. Stay behind me, baby. Stay behind me, baby. She goes over there and is falling down, getting bloodied up, prickers in the face. That's her reality. That's what's going on. But that's not my will. That's not what I want. Abby, you got to stay behind me. There she goes out in front of me. 3, 2, 1, bam. Muddy, crying, wanting to go home. Yeah, it's true. That's how things, and that's not my will, but there's my baby girl, bloodied, scratches on her face, nicks on her knees, you know, full of mud in her clothes, sad and crying. My child didn't have to be that way. Daddy had a path. Daddy had a place for you to walk. He's got a place for you to walk. Come hungry the next few weeks. Say, Lord, I'm going to learn this. I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. I want something different in my life. Amen? Amen? He loves you just as much as he loves anybody. Praise God. Father, we thank you for the word today. Lord, we are so grateful and so thankful for the Holy Spirit. Father, you didn't leave us comfortless or to have to wander. Now, I know a lot of Christians wander, and I know a lot of Christians stumble and trip, and they experience things that they're not supposed to. It's just they didn't stay in your path. Now, I'm not saying that your path, Father, won't ever bring trial. And I'm not saying that your path won't ever bring tests, but Father, in those tests and trials, within your path, there's victory. And there's help for those things. But Lord, there's a lot of people that go through things unnecessarily that keep tripping up and stumbling. They're just not following you. And Lord, I pray for each and every person to receive a revelation here this morning that, you know what, wherever I am in life, I think it's March 10th, on March 10th, 2019, today, it's going to be different for me going forward. 2019 is going to be different for me. 2020 is going to be different for me. Father, I trust that you have good things for me. I'm going to learn, and I'm going to follow them, and I'm going to obey, and I'm going to walk into the best life that you have for me. Father, I pray that that would just be embedded into people. Father, brand that into them, Lord, that this is available to them. Father, we're just so thankful. Now, Lord, as I look around, I know everybody in here is born again. I know that. But Lord, there might be people listening right now on the internet, or if they go back on the archives someday and I didn't get a chance to know who they were or know their spiritual condition, they might not know you. And for those people that are listening right now, I want to give you an opportunity to receive eternal life. The assurance that when you pass from this life, when your days are over here, or if Jesus comes back before you die, that you'll go be with him. It's a free gift. It's not a gift that costs you joining the church, or, you know, you have to radically change your life to have God to accept you. No. Jesus said, if you'll call on my name, you'll be saved. That's it. That's simple. And the way that you do that is if you believe in him. You might not understand everything about him, but if you could say, I do believe that Jesus was real. The Bible says if you'll call on his name, the way Romans 10 puts it is if you'll confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. So all you have to simply do is say, Lord, I do believe in you. I believe you died and rose again. Now, religion will tell you it's harder than this, but the Bible says this is how you do it. Lord, I believe you. I believe in you. I believe you died and rose again, and I ask you, come into my heart. You say, why do you have to ask him? Because he says he's standing at the door of your heart and knocking. He will not bust the door down. He will not come in uninvited. He's a gentleman. So, Father, I believe in Jesus and I receive Jesus into my heart. And he'll come in and dwell. And he'll say, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And then from that place, get planted in a Bible teaching church where you can learn stuff like you learned about today. Today was priceless. Of what we can learn and the opportunity that God's putting before you. Get into a church that teaches the word like this, that will share the Bible, the hard things, the deep things of God. Praise God. And give us shoot us an email, give me a phone call, let us know, and I'll help you get set up going forward. Can we all just stand to our feet and worship him today? I mean, from your heart, of a place of gratitude of what he's offering you. Your best life is right out in front of you. It's right out in front of you. If you just learn how to do it his way. Learn to play by the rules. Lord, we bless you today. We're so grateful. So thankful. So thankful for what you've done for us. For what you've given us. For the opportunity we have. Lord, we praise you this morning. We honor the name of Jesus. We glorify. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Thank you, Holy Ghost, for showing us things to come. In Jesus' mighty name, everybody said, amen. Amen. Real quick, Wednesday, don't forget, 6:30. And also, there is a bunch of sweets and goodies over there in the fellowship hall waiting for you. You are dismissed.